Welcome to the podcast of Lansdowne United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you found us online. The message for today was recorded on Saturday, December 24th, 2016. The speaker is Pastor David Jacobson.
Luke chapter 2, verse 7 says some words that I'm guessing we've heard before. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. She laid him in a manger. Have you ever taken a moment to look at the beautiful nativity scenes that are on, the pictures that are on the front of many Christmas cards? You know, Mary, of course, always looks stunning. Like she just returned from a weekend spa retreat. Joseph looks stately, in control. Sometimes he's shown, you know, casually resting his elbow on a nearby calf. And then there's the manger, a feeding trough. This is really the only detail that the Bible gives us about where, what type of place Mary, Joseph, and the baby stayed in. And the usual scenes, the manger looks like a plush, comfy straw bed. And as for Jesus, he looks like what the hymn tells us. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Yep. Really? Of course, usually there are a few animals who look ready for the state fair, and they look into the manger longingly. I don't know, maybe they're in awe of the Redeemer of creation come in their midst, or maybe they just wish the trough had a little less baby and a little more feed. Well, as many of you know, our second child, Hannah, was born last Friday the 16th. And I confess that I can't help but look at the Christmas story with fresh eyes this year. I think if we were to pause for a second and consider any of the detail from the pictures of, you know, that manger scene, it wouldn't take a great amount of imagination to realize that they probably don't match the reality of that first Christmas very closely. Mary does not look like she has just gone through the pain and the strain of childbirth in a place that is, to say the least, dirty. Joseph does not look like someone who has struggled to provide even, you know, these inadequate accommodations for his laboring wife. And the little Lord Jesus, well, let's just say from personal experience, I have a hard time believing no crying he makes. So on the one hand, the usual Christmas card picture is completely wrong. And, you know, we preachers love to point stuff out like that, but that's not the whole story. Because in every nativity image I've ever seen, all eyes are on the baby. I mean, how could it have been any other way? I imagine that Mary and Joseph could have penned that old hymn as they gazed at Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. This baby is good news. And this particular good news is more powerful than the pain of childbearing. It's more powerful than the struggle of providing for one's family. This baby changes everything. Now, every single baby is a miracle in and of themselves, and every single baby is a gift from God. Those who have spent time around babies know that every baby also has the potential to demand your whole being. You really can't be indifferent toward a baby. Of course, you can choose to not give of yourself for the baby. You can choose to not give the baby the attention it needs. But in a sense, responding by changing your life is the only appropriate response. Indifference isn't an option because babies change lives. And baby Jesus isn't your average baby. with Jesus' birth, as the reading from Titus said, the grace of God has appeared. God is not far away and detached from the circumstances of our everyday lives. He's not the gray-bearded old man who sees you when you're sleeping and knows when you're awake and knows when you've been bad or good. Da-da-da-da. Yeah, okay, I know you know it. So God is so much more than that. And Jesus shows us that God is one who comes down into the reality of life, right into the dirt, right into the muck. He becomes weak, he becomes poor, he becomes helpless. Like Mary and Joseph in the Christmas card manger scene, we do gaze at that little baby. And if we grasp what's going on, the baby has to change us. This is God incarnate, God in the flesh. Let that blow your mind for a second. God has become mortal. God has become killable. The eternal, infinite creator of everything that exists became a baby as vulnerable as my little girl. He needed to have someone feed him, have someone change his diapers. He couldn't see things at a distance for weeks. You know, Mary put him somewhere and all he could do was lie there and wiggle or coo and cry. Jesus, the God of the universe made flesh, was every bit as vulnerable as my brand new baby daughter, and perhaps certainly even more so, since King Herod would soon put a target on his back. We have to let this confuse us and shake us before we begin to understand the meaning of Christmas. Like Mary, we have to treasure all these things and ponder them in our hearts. What does this mean? How could all-powerful, almighty God do this? Our God is so holy, so far above us, that we can never reach God. We can strive to be good. We can try to do our best, but we find ourselves captive to the power of sin in our lives. But here comes the essence of the good news. God loves us so much that God becomes human to help us. God does not first come in judgment, but in love and mercy to help us. God becomes human in order to defeat the power that sin has over us and to give us the eternal life that God always desired for humanity. The hymn we just sang is one of my all-time favorites, and it puts it like this. Mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die, born to raise us from the earth, born to give us second birth. This is what God does. And even in this scene, we can discern pointers to how God will work this all out. We see Mary lay the baby in an old rugged feed trough because later he will be nailed to an old rugged cross. Here, Jesus is rejected by an innkeeper, but later the crowds will reject him and shout, "Crucify him." Here, Mary wraps Jesus in cloth, but later his garments will be stripped from him and gambled for. This baby is God's rescue operation. There was no room for Jesus so that we could dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Or to paraphrase one of the church's ancient teachers, God becomes what we are so we might become like who God is in Jesus. The angels don't bring good advice about how to live. They bring good news of great joy for all the people. The angels essentially say, something in the world has changed and you have to respond. For to you and to me is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This baby changes everything. Will you let yourself be changed by this baby? Who is God with us? Will you give of yourself for Jesus?